Blog.
Good morning, Log Talk Radio. Hello out there. Well, Nazim Rashid here. Let's see here. We have an interesting show today. Our host, Professor Applewhite, discusses what to do when listening and other motivational strategies are not appearing effective for minimizing burnout among teachers. Remember, these discussions are applicable in most learning environments, even when teaching adult students with mental or learning issues. An overview of self-talk and positive vocabulary is enhanced by our co-host, well, host right now, Nazim Rashid, and resource consultant, Dorothy Nichols Rashid, and other guests that will prove very successful in school and work environments. Okay, there we go. All right, then. So, we are on. Okay, so let's see here. Let's see if I can get someone who is actually waiting on the air. Hello, 480213.
Morning. This is Dorothy.
Oh, yes. You're on. A wonderful wifey. Dorothy knows about she. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. I feel great. I appreciate a brand new day. It's a positive word you can use to get across.
Okay, very good. And that reminds me of what we're going to do today, because we're going to actually start looking at how we use words to form our life and to actually serve as a way of creating our own destiny. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about that, and we're also going to finish up with listening and communication skills also, so we can be a little more knowledgeable, have the ammunition needed in order to communicate and listen effectively. All right, then. So as I'm trying to play with the switchboard here, we have to have a little more patience so that we can get through this whole process without too many challenges. So, let's see here. Before I get going, I'm going to just say hi to another person. And this is actually a 824 prefix, I believe.
Oh, this is, Tom Baker.
Tom Baker, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. I was hearing about being effective in your teaching. And being effective, I've seen students and teachers go at it the wrong way, and they're effective in communicating the negative point. So you have to be effective, but you have to be effective in the right way, in a positive way. To make sure you get the message across, you need to get across.
And how do you think is a better way for teachers to do that?
Well, I think if a kid does real well on a math test or something, I think it's a real good idea to tell them. But if they don't do well on it, you don't single them out. You know, you help them with them and build them confidence so they can do better on the next test. And also, I used to live on the Indian reservation, and with their culture, if you compliment one person, it's like insulting the other one, and they don't feel good about it, so they don't like that compliment thing. So knowing culture is important, too. I don't know if you knew that. At least the Indian reservation on White River. It's like that.
Well, that's interesting. So how, in that culture, how do they receive compliments at all? How do they know they're doing okay?
Well, that's the weird thing. Well, they do it sports and stuff like that. If somebody just says they're doing okay, they're fine. But, like, if the teacher points them out and said, this guy's made an A on this test, he's never made an A before, they feel like they're isolated and picked out, and they don't like to show up to friends.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh, how about that? See, I think that's a very good point to make because there are different cultural norms, we can go into a certain culture and do that exact same thing and really cause a problem because we just don't know.
Right, exactly, and I don't know whether that was just that one reservation or just a particular Indian cultures in general or what. But
yeah, right, exactly. So that's why it's important to understand different cultures. Yeah, very good, Thomas, that's good. Matter of fact, I didn't know that, and I could have made that same kind of mistake by not understanding that particular norm in that culture. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
So I wonder how they actually receive their necessary self-esteem boosting. How do they do that? Do you know?
Well, sometimes they talk to each other and ask what they did on the score, and they're okay if they keep it in private, but they're very reluctant to show that they showed up their friends. I really don't know that. Really, how they know how they do well in school.
I see. Very, very interesting. Well, I tell you what, I would love to invite callers to call in to let us know about the different cultural norms so that we can actually be a little more sensitive ourselves as we're talking to people from different cultures. Because, you know, I would never have done that. And so by us having more tools, we can be more sensitive, not, you know, step on anybody's toes or be offensive when we're trying to listen and communicate with other cultures.
Yeah.
So that's very important to understand it. That's very good, Tom. Very good. And I think that some kind of way we need to, as teachers, we have to ask the students to help us out, because if we're dealing with, Native Americans, folks from the East Indian culture or Asian cultures, we need to ask them what's appropriate or what's not appropriate for their particular culture. And so,
right.
And that's another way for us to keep humble ourselves, knowing that we don't know everything, and we are open to learn from them. So we're playing the role as a student.
Well, also, yeah, and also, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Richard Nixon was talking to some ambassador from a country where you're not supposed to point your feet at the person. It's like our version of flipping them the bird.
Wow.
And it was a diplomat that he was doing this with. And Americans are famous for not knowing other people's cultures.
Wow.
A lot of times.
Say that again. Say it again. It's not okay to point your toe. Say it again, please.
He put his feet facing the guy.
Okay.
And in that guy's culture, that meant the same thing as giving him, you know, the finger.
Wow.
And there's just all kinds of weird things that go on like that that people don't even know about.
Wow, isn't that something?
Yeah. So.
I would never have known that. Tell you what, stay right there. I'm going to see check on another caller here, and we'll get back to this important subject, okay?
Okay,
we have caller 659, I believe.
Good morning. This is your Professor Applewhite, and you're doing a great job with co-hosting the show today, and I love it very much. I'm very, very concerned about how culture is being discussed. I want to make sure that we refer to it as weird, because then we're, again, making a judgment about someone's culture. So we have to be real careful about that, because they're looking at our culture as weird, too. So,
yes.
Tom, you made some really, really great comments here, and we really appreciate that. But I just want you to look at that word, because today, as a matter of fact, is a day that we're looking at positive words that we can use that are going to help to motivate us and keep us strong and focused so that we can go to school and go to work and be very, very successful. Right, Nazim?
That's right, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're right,
right
about that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Please go ahead and continue hosting.
Well, okay, let's see here. We're going to take a call with a 452 number there. Hello, you're on Blog Talk Radio, student and teacher. 452. No?
452.
452.
Okay.
I would say we're going to keep going on. What I'm going to do, I'm going to just read a little something from my book, Reconnected, and the chapter of communication and listening skills, so we can know a little more about what we're talking about. We started a series last week and before that, and we need to kind of get a few things in order. And we talked about empathy before, which is very, very important. We talked about not thinking about ourselves when we're listening to someone else. And we talked about that there. And we also talked about how we can actually deal with other persons going through, which is not easy at all. And so now, besides that, now I want to talk about another thing, which is on the communication side, and it's called the 97-3 principle of communication. 97-3 principle of communication. And what this basically says is that most of the communication that's effective that gets into the other person is not from our words. Our words comprise only 3% what is actually transmitted. And that's important to understand. You see, it's only a little bit, only a small portion. And so it's our presentation, it's our body language, it's our inflection, and those items actually present more of the communication factor, more so than actual words. So when we're actually communicating, we're actually sharing our energy with the other person through those things, you know, through the body language and through our inflection, not our actual words. That's why it's very important as teachers, we have to have the right kind of positive disposition in the classroom. And as we're talking to one another, we have the right kind of disposition. And so, but now you might say, well, I didn't say anything wrong. Yeah, but you present yourself in a fashion that spoke louder than the words that you were actually giving out. You see, so it's very important to understand that part there, that most, almost all communication is really from our presentation. And that's the part that I want to really bring across right there, that we need to kind of understand as we're talking. That's,
you know, what is
there.
Unfortunate, Nazim, and our listeners out there, and our teachers, I'm sure, will agree, is that unfortunately, in most of our teacher training programs, we don't go through things like this. We don't have it in our curriculum. And that's one of my advocacies, is to make sure that we put more into our teacher training program about life, about real life, and about how to say positive things and how to be. And I know some teachers are going to cringe when I say this, but we are truly surrogate parents, okay? No matter whether we want to be or not, we become surrogate parents. We become their counselors, their therapists. We become everything sometimes, especially as whatever age they are, really, okay? Because even adult students, as the ones White Apple Institute works with, definitely need that nurturing and that these positive things that you're talking about right now, language and self-talk. Well, you haven't got to self-talk yet, but I'll come in when you start talking about that. So do you agree? I mean, that's one of the problems, that we don't have this stuff. We need to use your book. That's why I told you I'm going to use your book in my teacher training classes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, that's very correct. Matter of fact, as we're talking, I just pulled up the right page here. I want to make a correction to myself. As a matter of fact, let me just read this. Listening means to pay close attention, to give your ear and yourself. You have to develop an internalized sharp skills and the ability to listen objectively with a keen sense of demonstrated empathy. Keen sense of demonstrated empathy. And that's very important. And also, when you empathically listen to others, you start to process their situation from their frame of reference instead of your own. True listening requires, first, that you are not preoccupied, or if you are, you cannot fully receive information from the person. So we need to address body language. Body language is very important in this topic of communication and listening skills. And the stats say that 93, I was wrong, I said 97, it's actually 93% of effective listening comes through nonverbal cues.
Yes.
Yeah, nonverbal cues. And the stats, yes. So 55%, breaking down, 55% is body language, and 38% is through tone of voice. And only 7% is actual words. So that's the 93-7 principle of communication. I had to turn around. So again, 7% is through actual words, and 93% is through nonverbal cues. And that's important to understand. And since the vast majority of communication that gets through is nonverbal, we have to recognize that we are communicating. Observe children as they model parents' behavior. They're more influenced by the body language and tone of voice than the actual words. See, that's important right there. Because, see, a lot of times, you know, parents have this idea of do what I say, not as I do kind of thing. But we all know that just doesn't work. That doesn't work at all. You know, it doesn't work at all. And so the saying that kids be what they speak is more accurate. How are we standing, folding our arms, lean forward in the chair, or slouching? How, look at our hands or our hips, looking at the clock constantly, one foot out the door while talking, and observe ourselves standing while others are sitting, holding a conversation while looking at television or on a computer. We have to have some congruency of ourselves in this regard. The term congruent means matching, agreeing, coinciding. It sends clear, consistent messages to the other party. Incongruency, on the other hand, leads to confusion, to non-acceptance, and to rebellion. When our youth get mixed messages, the adults are sending this subtle message to them, saying, we don't want to really understand our point of view, and or we are trying to hide something. for neither of these sentences work. Our words have to match our body language to show that we are communicating effectively. Understanding body language increases our understanding of ourselves and others. You might be evaluating. Excuse me one second, I can turn the music off. Okay. We might be evaluating or judging, disapproving, agreeing, disagreeing, confirming, and or denying all of our body language. So as we are communicating with ourselves and others, we want to ask at various intervals about the other person's feelings. As we are asking them how they feel,
Would you mind repeating that last part there, so that we could hear that sounded very, very interesting and very applicable to what we're talking about today. Why don't you go back just for a moment, a few sentences back, and reread that for us, would you?
Okay. It might be the part where you might be evaluating. So I'll put, you might be evaluating that part right there?
Yes.
Might be evaluating?
Yes, please.
Okay. You might be evaluating, evaluating, judging, approving, disapproving, agreeing, disagreeing, confirming, and or denying all by your body language. And that's very important to understand that. As you are communicating with others, you want to ask at various intervals about their feeling. As you're asking them how they feel, they will, from that pattern that you are establishing, bond more with you and really feel validated.
That is very, very important. And we need to do a whole show around body language.
Mm-hmm.
I hope all of you are enjoying the hosting by Nazim Rashid today. He is preparing in the future, you know, for his own show. And I think he's doing a really great job hosting today. And so we certainly welcome him to host our student-to-teacher-to-student show this morning. Professor Applewhite sends much love and peace and is really appreciating your work right now and what the listeners are saying. Come on, listeners.
Thank you. Now, by the way, I want to go to a caller, a 964 person.
Uh-huh.
Phone number? Or, I'm sorry, like, 452 again, 452?
They might just wish to be quiet, and that's okay. They can go into chat if they want or connect them with us on by email.
All right, then. So 452, okay. All right. And, okay. So, therefore, now, all right. I'm trying to operate a lot of things at the same time.
This is
Ray
Govan on this line, but I'm just listening this morning. Enjoy.
Oh, good. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. And so, so that's very important, because I'm telling you, without validation, what happens, that will impede the communication and bonding process. If other person feels that they're not validated by you, they will not connect and bond with you. And if that happens, you're not going to have you're not going to have a feeling of connection with them, and that will impede the communication process. So through your body language and through the tone of voice, the inflection you're using, the energy you're presenting, that will affect them as to how they feel about themselves and how they feel validated. So that's a very important to understand that. So when you're looking at this whole idea of listening, if we just keep in mind the 93, I had to correct myself, the 93.7 principle of communication, then we'll have a good idea as to how we can better effectively communicate ourselves. That's so, so very important. And so we need to watch by our arms being folded, looking at the clock all the time, or looking at our appointment book while we're talking to people and so forth, and kind of ask ourselves, are we really connected? Are we demonstrating that we're connecting with this person's spirit, this person's energy field? Because in order to have effective communication, your field, energy field, and that person's energy field have to combine in an effective, positive way. Only then will you have a solid connection where you're hearing and communicating on the same page. So let's say the house is blue, other person will respond to how it's being blue instead of being of some other color.
Right.
That's very important. And that's what I'm trying to get across, is that we don't do probably most of the time, and so that impedes communication, and so you have disruption in energy fields, and problems exist from that point. Okay? So, is anybody going to try to look at the switchboard here? And anybody want to comment on that so far?
Well, I was going to say, I'm manic depressive, and you feel different on different days, terribly, quite different. But if you learn to smile each day and talk to people and be friendly, you can actually bring yourself out of depression and also communicate better. And if you are prone to down moods or melancholy or whatever, you don't have to let that come across in your body language. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, it's very difficult when you have, kind of a mental state where you can't show your best and you're communicating with someone. I think it's very important then to tell the other person, you know, so they don't get mixed messages. You might say, well, look, I'm having a bad day right now. I'm not my best right now. I'm trying my best to understand what you're saying, but I'm having difficulties. And let the other person know. And maybe, you can't involve yourself to communicate effectively when you're in that kind of position, because the person is still reading your face and reading what you're presenting.
Right.
And could be leery about really connecting with you, not really sure and not trusting that you can connect and bond with them.
And that goes even if we're saying, it's Professor Applewhite, that goes for even when we're saying the right words. When we're saying all the positive words that we can say and even complimenting an individual. We've seen it many times, people who don't like each other or whatever, and they get involved in trying to compliment them or give them an award, especially in a workplace. And their body language is saying something totally different than the words that are coming out of their mouth. And so that's another issue to look at, because, yes, body language really is what grandmother used to say, actions speak louder than words. Okay, so this is great what you're doing. Know it's 9:32 and how many minutes you have left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, about 28 minutes, 27 minutes. And so I think it's a very good idea now to go into our self-talk here and or interpersonal communication and look at how the words we use help us or hinder us in life. So there's a list of words that I believe Dorothy introduced, and I would like for her to kind of come in right now to talk about these words, possibly.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Dorothy?
Good morning.
She's still there. Oh, there she is.
Yeah. I don't have a gigantic list in front of me, but I can think of a couple. I am power. I am joy. I have, I create, I declare, I can, I know, I love. Just a few words, instead of saying I need to keep that around and say I empower myself to create whatever that is.
I'm not sure if your phone is breaking up or do we need to go to another phone, Nazim?
Yeah, it sounds like it's really broken up there. I have heard that.
Okay.
So I don't know if your bars are up there.
We want to get those words.
Let me try this one.
Okay.
Because we want to make sure in here all those wonderful positive words.
Okay, just a little bit better.
Yes.
Is that better?
A lot better. Thank you.
Okay.
Let's try that again, because you've got something very important to say to our listeners.
Well, some of the words that I, as a short list, one, for example, is I choose. Instead of saying
or another way to turn something around, like instead of saying I need something, say I empower myself to create whatever that is.
Yes.
And it, maybe it takes going to school to learn about whatever that is. But a lot of times changing your mind and saying something positive percolates the brain, and it helps formulate an idea or a way to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And,
absolutely. There's a lot of words that maybe, as we have been sharing, Dorothy, our beautiful resource consultant, that we could just take and put on index cards or post-it notes and make those statements that apply to us and just put them, I put them on my bathroom mirror when I'm working on something, especially within myself. The bathroom mirror is a great place, the refrigerator, things like that. So I hope our listeners, especially our teachers out there, because if our teachers are doing this, and showing themselves as a model, then we can encourage our students to do the same. And then, of course, now we have the next generation of teachers, and it goes on and on and on. You agree?
Yes.
Yes. Give us some more words that are really powerful, a few more words that we can really focus on, please. A few more concepts.
I claim... I declare,
mm-hmm.
I will, I allow, I am, I love,
mm-hmm.
I enjoy, I can. I think that's a famous saying. I think from Ford, the one who has the big Ford country, I think years ago, didn't he say, if you believe you can't do something, then you can, but if you believe you... then
that's
you can't,
right.
And then if you believe you can, you will.
That's right. If you believe you can do it, you can do it. If you believe you can't, you absolutely will not be able to do it. Belief is a very, very important part of making sure that you get the job done in the classroom, as a teacher, or as a student. That's a very good point, Dorothy. You're both doing a wonderful job. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I hope our listeners will share some concepts that they use to motivate themselves especially when they're feeling a little down, some of the things that they say to themselves or maybe use as affirmations. And affirmations are just those statements that we make, like Dorothy was sharing. I hope our listeners will join in and share with Dorothy and Nazim.
Mm-hmm. By the way, speaking of listeners, I see a 94. Is this Jerry's number still?
Say that again.
I see a 964 on the switchboard. Caller there? No? Okay. All right. I want to emphasize or reemphasize the idea of using a certain word, and one word comes to mind is I choose. And since we choose everything we're doing, either consciously or unconsciously, we have to look at actually saying I choose or I choose that. You see, and sometimes when you're unhappy, some people choose to be unhappy. I want to feel good. I want to frown. I want to be upset. But then say it. I choose to be upset. If that's your disposition, just say it. And so, but then by saying, you might ask yourself, do I really want to be like that? Because anything we're doing, we're choosing. So if you want to choose another position, say, I'm not choosing to be happy. I'm choosing now to be laughing, be smiling. And so that's important. That's important right there. But just use that word more so. I'm choosing this, I'm choosing that. I'm choosing to be happy. I'm choosing a job that fulfills me. I'm choosing a mate that is a good prosperity partner for me. I'm choosing to eat healthier foods instead of fatty foods. I'm choosing to exercise more. And use that word more so. And then what happens, you start getting empowered with these words. And what happens is something that your consciousness there, you see? Yeah, so the word I'm choosing, also the word I'm allowing, and telling yourself that I'm allowing now for healing energy to come in. I'm allowing for more information to come in to further my goals and objectives. I'm allowing the professor to interact with me more so. You know, so those two words, I'm choosing and I'm allowing, we should use more so. That would help us along our lines of our own empowerment and our own sense of our well-being.
Right, Nazim. Can I add that being the master of your choice is really what it's all about, and discovering maybe that immature thought that's interfering with your mastery and making the right choice, and taking charge of that immature thought and maturing it so that it doesn't interfere with you. And allowing is such a beautiful concept, because when you allow, you're not putting out any things to put up roadblocks to getting to what you want. It's a very powerful word, allowing. It's very much. And I used to teach a course called Masters of Choice, and what we worked on in that is finding for each individual in the class what was the little roadblock in the way that was the immature thought that sometimes created that bad day, which really didn't need to be there.
Aha.
Right. You know, that's when you get a chance to get into my book, you will find that is one of the things that I really focus on, is because a lot of people, of course, use their disability as a block, as a barrier to doing anything. And it can be anything mental or physical. And they use that. And so I appreciate you saying that, because we do have to take some mastery over our lives no matter what we're dealing with. And we still have to keep going. I mean, life, as the saying goes, life goes on. And it only goes on a positive way if we learn how to do what Nazim is bringing up today, is to learn how to speak positively within ourselves, within our thought process, and also in what we say verbally, and also in how we act as we are dealing with body language. So you've really, really taken our listening skills to a new level, Nazim.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you. Very important. And also, I want to keep in mind that the body, the physical body, responds to our positive energy. It responds to that. And so it's very important. What we're talking about is very healthy for you to do on a physical level. Very healthy. Because as we are saying that we're allowing positive healing energy to come in, you see, and we're allowing wonderful communication to transpire here, we're choosing connection versus disconnection. We're choosing that the body itself vibrates differently. And we have a gland in our body called a thymus gland that expands and contracts according to our energy we have. It expands and contracts. This thymus gland is responsible for putting out the red blood cells in our system, our T cells, because T stands for thymus. And so what happens when the thymus gland is in its enlarged state, you have more T cells going into your system. When it's at a smaller state, you have less T cells going into your system. So as you're smiling, you're happy, you're one to connect, you feel positive about yourself and others, the thymus gland is actually physically bigger. So this tells you right there that you are in a healthier state. Your immune system is actually up behind you, thinking in a very positive way about yourself and others. And when you're thinking negatively about disconnecting yourself or disconnection period, your thymus gland actually shrink, and you have less energy, and your immune system is impacted. And this is when you're more susceptible for getting sick. Colds, flus, viruses, who knows what out there, more allergies. And this is also a proven fact. And this is why it's so very important on a physical level for us to think about connection more so than disconnection. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, Reconnecting.
I know our time is short right now, but I just wanted to add into that for those of us who have had any challenges with drugs and alcohol, that Nazim, what he's saying is that the same principle applies, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, please, Nazim, that we are talking about even the brain and how the brain produces dopamine, which makes us have a much more peaceful and happier feeling. Sometimes the neurons in our brain are not strong enough to create that. That's why some of us have to take our medication. But there are some people that take medication that don't need it. But you're right. We have to build up not only our physical immune system, but our mental immune system so that we get enough of the drug dopamine that is already there in our brain that God has placed there to give us a happier life.
Yes, that's it. On that level, I actually have a chapter in my book called The 12 Principles of Recovery, and I actually talk about that in depth.
Yes.
And what happened on that level, we have to look at changing our patterns. When you change your patterns, you actually change the neural pathways in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that creates a different kind of operation there, chemically speaking. Because what happens with addiction, you have a certain kind of pathway that's established. It's going to keep going in the same kind of way, and it actually directs your life, you see. But when you actually constantly change your pattern, just change your pattern and do it consistently, you change the neural networks in your brain. Your brain operates differently. And when you start doing things like, well, whatever makes you feel good, say if you love playing softball, all right? You play more softball, that by itself releases the same dopamine as cocaine in your brain.
Yeah.
Playing softball, if that's your thing, it does that. And so what happens is that the dopamine comes out and it rewards you for doing a good job of making a home run. And it rewards you by you feeling good, you see? But in this natural process, the brain, it has what's called reuptake centers in the brain. And so it basically replenishes what it took out, and so then you have a constant supply of dopamine to give you more rewards later on. But with drugs like cocaine in particular, it drains you so much you can't get it back in there. You are trying to get that high again that you had the first time that you never can get. So,
and
that,
there's so many beautiful things in life that give us highs. You know, just like you said, sports. You mentioned sports. And if teachers out there and any of our other listeners that are in other fields, our students especially, that they start listening to what you're saying about the factor that we can create our own highs in life, and we can relate to them.
That's right.
When we think about the hugs from our mothers that love us, from our husbands or wives, or just good feelings, and try to keep those going. And if you need more on the vocabulary, make sure you connect with our dear Nazim Rashid at White Apple Institute. And Dorothy, I think, is coming on in a little bit to do our resources and give our information. But this has been wonderful.
Yes, it really has been. So I'm going to take a little pause right here. I'm going to let Dorothy talk a little bit about or blast off, because she has an excellent blast off idea we all should be plugged into. So,
yes.
Dorothy, are you there, my dear?
Oh, she'll be there in a minute.
Well,
she's getting that headset on,
well,
I think.
Okay. All right. We'll
she's certainly full of resources and, self-talk. I think is just in as you're concluding the show, I think self-talk is the most destructive thing that we do, don't you?
Oh,
I
absolutely.
Mean, it's before we even get to saying anything about ourselves or anybody else. It's the way we talk to ourselves, the way we think about ourselves. I think Jerry talks about that in his book.
That's not always. Positive or negative, it just depends on what the self-talk you're giving yourself is.
Exactly. And it can be the most destructive thing if we're not careful. So we have to make sure that when we're doing our self-talk, I mean, and I'm not saying not to be realistic. I mean, you know, it's realistic if we don't have a leg or an arm or we have some physical things that are going on with us. I'm not saying to ignore that. What I'm saying is to overcome it with doing some self-talk, with using positive words that Dorothy shared with us earlier, and using some of the things that Nazim has introduced into the show today.
And it's really all about improvement. I don't care what your situation is. You can have no legs and no arms and feel wonderful. It's all about improvement and so forth. So when you're actually telling yourself wonderful things, that starts the whole process of elevating you from where you were to where you want to be.
Uh-huh.
And that's important to understand that. You know, that's important. And realizing that we are perfect as a human being. Like, you're a perfect Danita, I'm a perfect Nazim, you're a perfect Tom, you're a perfect Jerry. We are that way in the mold that we were created in. And no one else has that mold but us.
Absolutely.
So, Dorothy, are you there?
Yes, I apologize. I don't know what's wrong. The signal dropped anyway. I'd like to remind everyone our public libraries are a perfect resource, very helpful. The people there are helpful. The information is free. We have one just across the street. I go over and get a couple of movies and come right back, and they're free. It's great. Anyway, I want to also mention that we are a volunteer organization. We appreciate your donations. There is a PayPal easy membership feature on the website, whiteappleinstitute.org. And the local number here in Arizona is 480-659-8582. And also I want to remind everyone that you can be rewarded for shopping online. You can get cash back, and also the stores pay you a little commission for sharing your blast-off link with other people. So for White Apple Institute, it's whiteappleinstituteblastoff.com. And
wow, you're saying that the shows share a commission with the people. If I go online to shop right now,
yes,
at any of the stores through that
from
website you mentioned, that I'm going to get something back, and then I can also be a contributor to White Apple Institute.
That's true. But
my goodness.
That's
whoever
true.
Thought of that idea? Whoever thought of that idea? I give them accolades. I mean, I'm thankful, very grateful for that.
Now tell us, what kind of stores are available there online?
We have Target, Best Buy, Sears, Overstock.com, Budget Rent-A-Car. I arrange my rental car and my airline tickets through my own mall. I just go into my little blast-off page and click on mall, and I can shop from over 400 store, it, whether you want to travel, whether you want to buy clothing, whether you want to buy office furniture. I bought also an office chair, and I got a little reward back for that. And they'll send you your cash every month, or you can let it accumulate. Say if you want to let it accumulate to $100 and let them send your check then, they'll do that. So I just let my little kitty accumulate. It's about $25 in it now. So when it gets up to $100, then I'll say, send me my check. it's pretty cool. And if you don't want to shop, it's a fun page. It's a fun page.
Yeah.
But it's a great organizational charity fund builder tool that can be used for any charities out there. It's great.
Well, thank you. Thank you for putting that together for us, Dorothy. Dorothy is very resourceful and pulls our volunteers together, and we thank her for that.
But by the way, Dorothy, where is the website again, plus the phone number to the White Apple Institute?
WhiteAppleInstituteBlastOff.com and WhiteAppleInstitute.org, and the phone number locally in Arizona for White Apple Institute is 480-659-8582.
And they can reach any of the people that they're hearing. They can definitely reach you, of course, you and Nazim, through those lines. That is your business number. We have many of our board members that come on, and that's the number that you connect with our board. and also the number that the students can call in to say they need some help if they need a small grant to continue in school. So we certainly invite our listeners to call in and talk to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, only 5 minutes left remaining. Do you have other sponsors, other information you want to share?
Well, we want to appreciate Adele and just to mention a few, Specialized Mobility Services, Eric and Adele, Wendy Duncan's Insurance Agency, Martha Bergen's been a big financial supporter, Jalen Brandis, she has the biofeedback services with the wellness, wellness consultant. Also, Nick, that are of Inkwell Publishing. I put some information for Nick on our website on the blog talk comment section. And abundance is flowing.
Abundance flowing.
I love
clouds of
abundance. That word, abundance. Clouds of abundance.
Yes, and by the way, that will be the title of the next program, but we'll share that as time gets closer. Very good, very good. So I think we've done a lot with self-talk and listening skills, and this whole idea is might seem pretty easy to do, but I'm telling you, when you start actually doing it, you're going to find some challenges because we operate on patterns of familiarity. And we wake up in a certain kind of way because we've always have done that. And we operate a certain kind of way because we always have done that. So when we're looking at changing our pattern, it's going to be a little challenging to a lot of us. You see, so a lot of us don't get up smiling and laughing and going in the shower singing and looking in the mirror and just praising God the whole time and skipping through the house and high-fiving yourself in the mirror and just having a great time. A lot of us, don't do that. And matter of fact, if you look at the idea of the Peanuts cartoon, you have Lucy and Snoopy. Snoopy's always laughing and dancing, singing, and Lucy's looking at him like he's crazy, you see? And an idea of us laughing and singing a lot of times might seem crazy to us. But the idea that if you just do that, you recognize and realize the good feelings that comes from that kind of exercise, you might say to yourself, why not? What's wrong with doing that, you know? Let's try a little bit, you know, so forth. And as you start trying these different things, you find that you'll start smiling more naturally. So as an experiment, let's try that for the next 7 days. Try to smile more. Just smile more. Don't try. Smile more and come up with some compliments for others on a regular basis. And just try it. It might be orchestrated first, like fake it till you make it. Just do it and see what happens afterwards. So what happens when you start putting good feelings out there is very attractive to other good feelings or waiting around, just waiting to be accepted by you. You see, you're out there.
Also,
you know, that's very, very important. Yes?
Oh, I wanted to also thank Jerry and Donna Govan for sharing their athletic lotion information with us.
Oh, yes.
Jerry and Donna, yes.
It's working wonderful for me. For Professor Applewhite, I'm endorsing this product. Okay?
Yes.
Very good.
Okay.
Now we have just 1 minute left. So see if we have any closing comments from Professor Applewhite there. It's your turn.
Well, sir, I think you've just done a wonderful job today, and I look forward to your show coming up in the near future, and you coming back and forth as our guest on White Apple Institute's student to teacher show. Same thing with you, Dorothy, and I hope you start that beautiful music that you always share with us at this time. And I just want to wish everybody much love and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for your prayers, all of you, towards my recovery. I appreciate all of you very, very much.
Thank you for sharing, and we'll talk another time. Thank you very much.
We'll see you next week, right?
That's right.
We'll hear from you next week.
Same station.
That's right. Next Saturday, 10 o'clock, same time, right?
That's right.
All right.